Thank you, Lord God. Well, last week we talked about that perfect love casts out fear. And I want to stay there a little bit. You know, we'll talk, go in a little bit different direction, but kind of stay on that subject this week. Let's turn back over to 1 John 4:17 through 19, or, you know, you got it on your sheet there. First John 4:17. All right. So it says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." You know, we just spent some time on the 18th verse last week. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment." How many of you have experienced, you know, that fear involves torment? Horrible thing to be in fear. It can cripple you. Completely stop you from moving. Even when you have everything you need to do the task at hand, fear will stop you. Have you ever been there? I know I have. You know what you need to do, but you're scared. And it hinders you. It hinders you from doing what God would have you to do. You know exactly. It's like, you know, it's right out in front of you. You know what you need to do, and you want to grab it, but you can't, because fear is gripping you. It's like, you know what you need to do. It's like, I just need to do. I need to say those words. I need to take care of that situation. I need to make that phone call. But you're just tight. You can't do it. Why? Because you're afraid of what might happen if you do. That's of the devil. It is to keep us immobilized. And notice what the Bible says, that perfect love casts out fear. The solution, God's solution, because we're interested in God's solutions. Because men have a lot of solutions for a lot of different things. Thank God men have solutions in certain areas, because while people don't have if they don't have the knowledge of God, sometimes that keeps them alive, or sometimes that keeps them on track. But the ultimate solution, so you don't always just belittle that. Ultimately, God's perfect will is his solutions in every area. He's, like we said before, he has the custom, tailored, perfect plan for our situation. Men can only give us something that has worked in a number of cases, or seems to work statistically, or has helped other people. But it's not like God. God says, this is what you need, because he knows the root of your problem. He knows exactly where it started. He knows the day. He knows the time. He knows where you were. He sees exactly what happened. He sees what somebody said something to you, or something happened in your life when you were such and such an age, or this. And he knows where it came from. So he says, okay, we're going to take care of that. This is how you do it. And it all comes back to Jesus. Every solution, he is the solution. But how do you implement in your own life? What steps should you take? The Holy Spirit tells us that. You know, Bible is written to us, and it has directions. And God, this is God speaking to us when we read. But you know, I've used this example before. This Bible here doesn't tell me what job to take. Jim Preston is going to work at, it doesn't say that. It doesn't tell me who to marry. It doesn't tell me where to live. It just tells me how to find out what God wants me to do. Listen to him. Then I'll get to the right place. How do I know his voice? How do I listen to that? I look at the word, and I follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and I'll get there. That's why the Holy Spirit gives us a custom tailored plan, and it will always agree with the word. Anybody thinks, well, I got a plan and it doesn't really line up with this, but that's okay because it's the Holy Spirit, it's not the Holy Spirit. Never, ever, ever. The word always trumps. I mean, they work in tandem. But if you have to err on one side, err on the word. Because this, we have this in black and white. This cannot be wrong. We can be wrong. And not, you know, we could be wrong. That's why we have two witnesses. We have the word and we have the spirit. If we line them up, we're not going to go wrong. And he will lead us where we need to go. and He will lead us in the right solution. So when we're talking about fear, and this applies really to anything, but we're just going to focus on that, just because that's where I thought we should go. We don't say, I'm going to get rid of fear, so I'm going to take a hold of myself and you dummy. It's not logical to fear. Do you know fear is not logical? Logic will not break fear. I don't care. You know that. That's what I say. I know what I need to do. I know what I should do, but I'm scared to do it. You can talk all you want and tell me all day why that does not make sense, and it will not cure fear. Fear is irrational. It's not based on facts. It's a spiritual force. It's from the enemy. He's trying to stop us from doing something. So that's why we look to God. He'll show us how to remove it right from the root. Not the symptoms, because fear is a symptom in itself. And really it all comes back. If we know who we are in Christ and our identity and how much God loves us, that will cast off so many symptoms, because that's the root. We cut that off and we know who we are. All these other symptoms of fear and doubt and poverty and sickness, it all just falls off. Got to. Because Jesus came to redeem us from everything. Completely. We're in His family. Not somebody that's rich on this earth, the richest being in the universe, period. And we're His sons and daughters. And if we knew that in the natural, if you suddenly found out you were adopted, not that you'd want to leave your own family, just go with the illustration. If you were adopted into somebody who had billions of dollars, you're the son and daughter. You could walk into their mansion anytime because you're the daughter or the son of this person. You're in the family. It's all their benefits are your benefits because they love you. Let's say they're a good person. That would mean something to us. It would mean, oh, I don't have to deal with this anymore. I don't have to deal with this because I'm in this family, and it just goes with the territory. We know that, but people, oh, I'm in God's family. Oh, now I have to deal with all this other stuff on my own. The richest being in the world. You think He wants His children dealing with fear? Can you imagine being, I'm not going to name names, there's so many names, but you just think, stop and think for somebody that you know is really rich. Certain names probably pop into your head, but I'm not going to name them. Say, think of a person that's just, known to be very, very rich. And you're in their family now, but you're scared of something in your life. Now, if it was natural, you might say, they might know something about this. I'm going to go ask them. Or they probably have the resources or know somebody who could take care of it. I'm going to go talk to them about it. A lot of the fear that we would deal with if we really knew who we had been adopted into would go. It'd be like, I don't got to worry about that anymore. My daddy has a lot of connections. He's got a lot of money. If it's money related, it's not really a problem anymore. If it's connection related, he knows everybody. Or he knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody how to do it. I don't have to deal with it. A lot of the fear would go away. Well, we know God Almighty. And when the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. It removes it. That knowing Him it automatically follows that fear will go away the more we have an idea of who He is and what He has done. I'm adopted into this family? Why would I be afraid of that? You mean He has done this for me and made me to be His heir, joint heir? And regardless of what I do, I have right standing with Him. Who cares what you think? I don't need to be bound by fear. What fear? And you just walk. It breaks it. Fear is not logical. It doesn't make any sense. And it is broken from the root by knowing Jesus. By knowing Him and His perfect sacrifice and what He has done. And now I'm just going to go to the next scripture. I'll come back to what I was going to say. Let's turn over to Romans. Got lots of scriptures on the sheet. That doesn't mean we're going to go through all of them. It's just stuff we may go to. Let's go to Romans 5. Romans 5, 1. We're going to jump up a little bit. I'll just have to read this to you, unless you have your Bible there. in the end of chapter 4. It's talking about Jesus and what he did. And if you notice the first verse of chapter 5, it says, therefore. Why is that there? You know, what is the word therefore, therefore? If you go back a couple verses, it says, verse 22, it's talking about Abraham, but it says, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness that Abraham believed. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that righteousness was imputed to him, but also for us it shall be imputed. We're right standing with God shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up for our offenses and raised because of our justification. Therefore, because of what Jesus did, therefore, Romans 5:1 now, therefore, having been justified, that word justified is means to be made righteous, to be acquitted, to be called not guilty, just like you never sin. Having been justified, past tense, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace through him, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Verse 5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See, we said over in 1 John, it says, perfect love casts out fear. And the Bible says in Romans 5:5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That love has been poured out. What we have is just to look inside. No, if we know that love has been given to us, it will cast out the fear. It will remove the fear. It will knock it out. We don't ever want to be led by fear. If we're led by fear, have you noticed this? I've noticed this. When you are led by fear, a lot of times you bring on the very thing you're trying to avoid. Have you ever, if you've ever been in a place where you feel insecure with somebody and you're dealing with them, and you are kind of feel like you want to walk around on eggshells around them, when you act like you don't want to make them mad and you start acting kind of, you act out of your normal self because you're insecure with that person, because you feel like they don't like you, do you realize so many times we bring on the very thing that we're trying to avoid? They look at you and say, what is this person's problem? They look so insecure. I don't really like them. And they didn't, at the beginning, they had no real thought to you one way or the other, but you have this thought that they don't like you and you're afraid of it, so you act a certain way and you bring about the very thing that you're trying to avoid. That's how fear works. When we listen to fear and let that lead us and guide us, we are yielding ourselves to the wrong thing. We're not being led by the Spirit of God, because God is telling you to go this way and you're saying, nah, I don't know that. I'm afraid of that, so I'm going to go over here. So right away, we've put ourselves on the wrong side. God's telling us to go there. We said, I'm going to go here. We wouldn't put it like that, but that's where fear will take you. And we don't want to be led by fear. We want to be led by the Spirit of God. Well, the more we know what Jesus has already done, then we'll say, that fear has no, that's not going to triumph over me. That has no pull on me. That doesn't matter, because my knowledge of him and the fact that he loves me makes this of no effect. So I'm going to still be led by God and forget the fear, and then we walk where God wants us to walk. God will lead us by his Spirit. He won't lead us by fear. And it's something that is subtle to be led by fear. Let me give you some examples. You know, you could throw out, some people have said, well, you ought to pray this much a day. You ought to pray, let's say, an hour a day. People have said, okay, fine. Is prayer bad? No. But if you make it a rule, what happens if you miss? For example, people have said you got to put on the armor every day, or you have to read through Psalm 91 every day, or you could have any number of things that you say, God, show me this, so I'm going to do it every day. What happens if you miss? If that's where's your faith? If I say I'm going to do this every day, so I'm protected. If I go out the door and every day before I go out the door, I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're protecting me, that the angels accompany, defend, and preserve me in all my ways. And you say that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I do that every time I go out the door. That just helps me. I'm saying this is what you're saying you do. This just helps me, and it, you know, just gets my mind clear, and then I know I'm protected. What happens if you miss? What happens if you hurry, you go out? Are you not protected? Why are you doing that? Because it can become you're really doing it because you don't want something bad to happen if you don't. Why do you eat the way you eat? It could be fear. Well, I don't want to eat that because this might happen. Who said? I mean, I'm not saying we're not used some wisdom, but why are you doing it? Is it because you're actually afraid of what might happen if you eat that? Or are you eating in faith? Are you really in the freedom of God saying, you know what, I don't need that. I don't want it. I think, you know, God's telling, that's not good for me. Besides, it doesn't agree with my body. I don't want to eat that, and I'm going over here. And you're walking by faith. You're being led by God. Or is it, I read something about that, and I don't know about that, and I just don't even want to take a chance, and I'm afraid. You see the difference? You can be, I'm not going to do this because I don't want bad to happen to me, rather than I'm going over here because I'm walking with God Almighty. I don't need that. But I'm doing it because I'm being led. It is subtle, but we can do that. Well, why are we doing something in our life? Why are we reading certain things, or why are we praying a certain way? Is it because of fear? Because I don't dare miss that, because if I do, I'm not sure God's going to come through. We wouldn't put it like that, but sometimes it happens. I mean, I've seen it in my life. I'm saying, wait a minute. I'm not being led by God. I'm being led because I'm afraid of this. What will take care of that? Knowing God, knowing Him, knowing what Jesus did, love. Then we say, wait a minute. I don't need to be afraid of this. God, what do you say about this? Anyway, forget what all this other stuff or the 15 books I've read. What do you say about this in my life? Oh, it's no big deal? Okay, then I don't have to be afraid of it anymore. Forget it. I'm living according to Him. I'm walking according to Him. Now, I'm not saying to do stuff or, you know, if stuff is against the Word of God. I'm saying all the other little things that we make for ourselves because we heard it or we read it or we thought it was a good idea. And then we put that in our life and say, well, you better do that too. That's not being led by the Spirit, and that's not being led by the Bible. That's basically, in some senses, some circumstances, being led by fear or being led just by something that seemed good to somebody else. We stay on His side. That the love of God has been poured out on our hearts, and that will drive out any fear. The more we know Him and the more we take advantage of that love. Let's skip down to Romans 8:13. Romans 8:13. It says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to deeds the body, put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." I'm not going to go into this, but according to the flesh is working according to your works and being led as if you're or walking as if you're just a body and you have not been justified by Jesus. Walking in the Spirit is walking according to the truths that God has provided for us through Jesus. If we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live according to the Spirit, you will put to deeds the death of the body. The death to deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Okay, I have those other verses I was going to read if I didn't have those on the sheet. But the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. But look at verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear is bondage. Fear is a very hard taskmaster. Fear destroys people, cripples people. Can't do this, can't do this, don't know about this, this person doesn't like me, whatever. It is bondage. But we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, back into bondage and slavery, but you received the spirit of adoption. Like we were saying earlier, adopted into that new family. We've not received the spirit of bondage into this old family, but we've received the spirit of adoption into this new family by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. You notice a kid, a child, when they're, you know, young, they don't, fears try to get in there, but in their purest form, when you're around, they're not scared. They have to be taught how to be afraid. When we just come as a little child and just be like, Daddy, God, Daddy, what do you want me to do? Daddy, oh, you've taken care of that, so there's no reason to be afraid of that. Daddy, what do you want me to do? Go to him like that and know what he has done. That's the spirit that we've been given, not a spirit of fear. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's what he's doing. He's telling us you're a child of God. Jesus died for you. Jesus has a good plan for you. Don't listen to all those other things. Just focus on me. Just walk with me. I'll lead you. He's going to bear witness continually that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. And heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. That's what the Spirit does. He just bears witness with us that of what Jesus did, of who we are as children, of the Father, the Daddy God that we now have, and that's what he'll push. That's what he'll tell us. No, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. And as we do that, these other things that we could have tried so hard to get rid of through so many different ways and so many different methods just falls off. Fear goes not because we're trying not to fear, but because we're somebody else and we have no reason to fear. We stand up as new people. We know who we are and say, I'm not afraid of that. It doesn't even cross my mind to be afraid of that. It's not something I would be afraid of, no more than a lion would be afraid of a little rabbit. It's not, you don't have to tell the lion not to be afraid. He can tear the rabbit apart in 2 seconds. He's not afraid. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Let's go over to Hebrews 2. I think we'll close there. Actually, we'll go there. We may go one more place. Let's go to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2:14. It says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." That's why Jesus died. That verse 14, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That through fear of death, afraid, being fear, gives way to bondage. And we don't want to go there. Let's go one more scripture back in Isaiah. Isaiah 54:14. There's a lot of good verses in these several scripture chapters, 53, 54. I have a lot of highlights here, 55, 56. Verse 13 of chapter 54, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Amen. Anybody that has children, that's a good scripture. All your children shall be taught by the Lord. You know, over in the New Testament, no greater joy do I have than know my children walk in the truth. All children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace, or shalom, of your children. It would, you know, it's Old Testament, it'd be Hebrew. Complete peace, establishment. Verse 14, in righteousness you shall be established. In righteousness. How does our righteousness come? It's through Him. In righteousness you shall be established, made firm, strong, stable. You shall be far from oppression. You shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. When? When you are established in righteousness. When you are established in righteousness. When you are established in righteousness. What, when you have everything together? No. When you know who you are and what Jesus has done. When you are established in that, like we read back in 1 John 4, to begin with, you know, well, right at the top there, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. When you're established in that, when your boldness is in that, when you're established in righteousness and what He has done, when that is our foundation, our unshakable foundation, nothing can move you off that then. Because no matter what happens externally, that's a constant. So when I'm established on righteousness, then terror won't come near me. Then fear won't be anywhere near me. You shall be far from oppression. You shall not fear. When? When you're established in righteousness. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. That's the key. That's the root. When we're established in righteousness, established in justification, established in the fact that we're acquitted, established in the fact that we're in the family and that we've been adopted into His family, and the Spirit is bearing witness and calling Abba Father, when that becomes our center and that becomes our established, fear goes. Fear leaves. Because we're established in Him. Amen? That's our foundation. That's Him. Fear is based on things that we're uncertain of and we don't know. But when we're so centered up on this great Daddy God that has counted us so worth so much that He put our punishment on Jesus. That He put out what we rightly deserved on Him. When we're established in the fact that there isn't something still left to be done. That really, you know, we still have this debt with God. No, it was done in the body of Jesus. It was punished in Him. God has not gone light on us. He punished everything that we should have got in Jesus. Therefore, it says in Romans, therefore, having been justified, we have peace with God. We have peace with Him because we've been justified. And so when we know we've been justified, He paid it. He acquitted us. He said, you're not guilty anymore because I put it on my Son. Then you're established in that. Then you're at peace with that. And then you walk along in life just knowing, God, you're so good. Lord, you've established me. What? That doesn't have anything to this over here? No, it doesn't have any pull on me anymore. I'm established in my Daddy. I'm established in what Jesus has done for me. Yeah, did I deserve it? No. He was just and righteous to punish it in Jesus, though, and it's a done deal. So I'm walking along. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of that. I'm walking with Him. Not even a thought in my mind anymore. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.